around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism, International Radio Ministries. It's a joy to be with you today. And we thank you for allowing us to come into your home and to share from the Word of the Living God. What an exciting time to witness the Word of God as it unfolds, as it is being revealed. And what is stunning is to watch purported Christian teachers, preachers in absolute denial of the Word of God. How is it anybody can embrace replacement theology? Romans 11:25. Blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. How do you take that verse and just obliterate it, say, well, that's not really what that means? If Israel is no longer relevant, why does God say blindness in part has happened, what? Until. I'm not going to finish this program until 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, when we reach the until, the program closes. Yet you have those who will say emphatically, oh, Israel replaced the church. This is the cynicism. Oh, the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. Oh, I know it's six times used in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 3. I know it's used six consecutive times, but that's not what it means. Well, if there's no thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, then there'll be no binding of Satan. He'll not be put in the bottomless pit. He'll not be bound. Because he is put in the bottomless pit, that old gospel song says, and there'll be no tempter then. But after the thousand years have been fulfilled, and he has been released, Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8, and when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, or the four quarters of the earth, I should say. So, he's going to be put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Once the 1,000 years have expired, he's going to be loosed a little season for the purpose of deceiving people. Folks, I would not listen to anybody that did not believe in the Word of God. Did you hear what I said? I wouldn't listen to anybody that did not believe in the Scriptures. If you don't believe in the Scriptures, what in God's name are you trying to teach people how to live? Why are you in that purported position? It's because they are Satan's ministers. You say, does Satan have ministers? Sure, he's got ministers. Now, most of them are self-appointed. Most of them are self-anointed. And you'll see them vacillate. One day they're this, one day they're that, another day they're this, another day they're that. They're not consistent. You've never heard me change my disposition in ministry in the sense, I'm a pastor this week, and I'm something else next week, and after 2 years, I'm something else. No, it's just always Pastor Langford. As a matter of fact, I was going to quit calling myself Pastor Langford and to go back to being an evangelist, because I literally do not pastor anymore. But there was such an outcry. People said, please don't quit calling yourself Pastor Langford. You are my pastor. Please don't do that. So for that reason, I kept that phrase. And indirectly, I pastor a lot of people. because they consider me their pastor. I minister to them. I try my best to counsel them at an arm's length relationship. I know I faithfully preach the Word of God to them. And I want to say thank you for those whom I do pastor for supporting the ministry. There are those who listen. I got a letter just the other day from a brother in the medical field. I believe he was from Tennessee. He said, I'm another one of the guys. I listen every week, but I never give any money to support the ministry. Hey, that's okay. You know, whether you support me or not, the fact is, you'll stand before God and you'll not have any righteous works. The Lord will say, did not Pastor Lankford feed you the Word of God every week? Did he not show you something? Did he not teach you something? Did he not impart something spiritual into your life? Yes, he did, Lord. Did you support him? Well, no. So where's your works? Because we're all going to be judged according to our works. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. So what kind of a reward will you get from God if you have no works? Now, you may end up being saved, I suppose. I'm not the judge of that. But you reap what you sow in the kingdom. And so this is not an appeal for money. I don't ask for money. I never intend to ask for money. The money dries up, I will retire and sit in my rocking chair and draw my Social Security check and enjoy life. My youngest daughter is pregnant about 2 months now and have a grandbaby coming along here and just enjoy the fruitfulness of life. My, my, my. But you need to be careful who you're listening to. This is not a news program. This is not a news program. I may periodically share a news article or relate to it or inform you about it, but we're not a news ministry. There's no such thing as a news ministry. They may have a news program, but ministry is about ministering the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come to be a purveyor of news. Now, that's what the Hagmans do, and they do a great, 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 great job. Those men God has raised up to share biblical truth, and they are so gracious. Joe and Doug Hagman are so gracious, so wonderful, to allow somebody like me to get on their program. Every week they do this and let me share the Word of God. Not only me, but other Christian brethren. I mean, it's amazing what these men do and the platform. And here's the great thing. Doug and Joe Hagman recognizes God gave them that platform. They don't take it for granted. They are humbled. They are humble men. They embrace God and God's Word and God's men. And for that, I'm grateful. But I don't do what they do. They don't do what I do. But we work together in harmony. But here, we are a ministry, and we minister the Word of God. I want to play a beautiful song today by the Perrys. Some of you listening today, you're discouraged. Lately, the devil has spoken to you and said, why don't you just quit? Why don't you give up on God? Why don't you just stop it? It's not worth it. You're not getting anywhere. You're not making any headway. Listen to this song. It's entitled, Keep On. Keep On. There are days I don't feel like coming to the radio program. There are days I don't feel like shooting a video. There are days I don't feel like writing a newsletter. There are days I don't feel like answering mail or answering emails. But I keep on. Why? Because I love the Lord first. And because I love the Lord first, I love His people. And thus, as He told Peter, feed my sheep. Listen to the beautiful, beautiful words of this song by the Perrys entitled, Keep On. It'll bless you. That, my friend, is what we all must do. We must seek to keep on. Don't quit. You're too far into the race. Too far into the race. We want to pick back up today here in Matthew chapter 24. I certainly hope and pray that you have been blessed these already 21 programs here in Matthew 24. Stephen and I decided the other day that we're going to put this on a DVD. We'll edit out the songs and some of the conversation, you might say, and condense it and make it strictly on a teaching and put it all together for you so that in the privacy of your home, maybe a Bible study, you're going to have this series on Matthew chapter 24. I pray we've done a decent job. I've tried to share the insight. I've tried to research and do everything that I could possibly do to make this a good series for you. I don't know where God's going to take us next, but He always seems to take us to the right place and always in a very, very timely manner. And for that, I'm humbled and thankful for God's blessings. We're going to pick up today in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. One of the most challenging, some say controversial, but we'll try today to mitigate, ameliorate, lessen the controversy in this statement. For many years, it's been misappropriated, been misinterpreted. Many would say this is the rapture. But we're going to try today to show you that's not the rapture. That's the removing of the wicked from the face of the earth. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now, for the most part, many have taught this is the rapture of the church. This is the rapture of the church. But the problem with that, Jesus has already made his triumphant return in verse 29. See, that's where you get into the difficulties of making Bible prophecy work. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. The other left. Now let's be honest today. Let's don't be hypocritical. Let's not be dishonest. Let's don't cheat. Let's don't do anything of that nature. But let's be forthright. Now, how many of you listening today have heard this verse? How many listening today are aware of this verse? How many listening today has ever heard a preacher preach this verse? Well, what is the verse, Pastor? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. Did you get that? The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. So if the righteous are never removed and the wicked are never allowed to inherit the earth, who then is God removing? Who is God going to remove? God is going to remove the wicked. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Remember the verse of Scripture in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The wicked shall not inhabit, neither will they inherit the earth. So what would be the reason to take the righteous away? He's taking the wicked away. The wicked away. That's God's business, to take the wicked away. Psalms 37:22, For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Psalms 37:29. Well, when I start getting into both books, Psalms and Proverbs, it gets a little bit cumbersome. Psalms 37, verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. So we see, according to Psalms 37:29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein. Proverbs 10:30, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Now, the next thing you're going to hear is people say, well, now, Pastor Lankford does not believe in a rapture. I've never once said that. That's not true. I believe in the rapture of the church. See, I believe in that. But because they get mad and angry, they lie on me. And they say things that are not true. Now, how high we go up in the air at the rapture is the debatable verbiage. That's what can be questioned. Now, to prove my point, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul's talking about shadow boxing. You ever watched a boxer get in the ring with nobody and box by himself? What's he doing? He's shadow boxing. He's beating the air. As I shared with you last Tuesday, how that you would think oxygen would be way, way, way on up into the heavenlies, but it's not. Those are boundaries. So once you get so high up, oxygen is depleted. You see it in the mountains, foliage, vegetation, trees. They're no longer growing. Why? There's no oxygen for them to live. So we don't see the vegetation, the foliage. When you get way up places like Mount Everest, it's not there. It doesn't exist. So how high do we go up? Well, that's up for debate. That's up for discussion. We don't know. But it's the air. The word air there in the Greek means the ambient air that is around us. We're going to go up somewhere, but we are not removed in the sense that we're taken away. It's the wicked that are taken away. The wicked are the ones that are removed. Again, Solomon says, the righteous shall never be removed. It's the wicked that will not inhabit or will inherit the earth. So when he says here in Matthew 24:40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God has no reason for us to be in heaven. We're gonna reign and rule in this earth, this world, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. The church's finest, the church's greatest hour is going to be during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, because it's going to be a godly government. God is a God of government. The government shall rest on his shoulders, we're told in the book of Luke. Of his government there shall be no end. Isaiah, God's going to establish a righteous, godly, divine order. It won't be like in Venezuela. It'll be a divine order. God takes the wicked away. God takes the wicked away. How do we know? Look at verse 39. I'm going to simplify this, and if you can't see it, it's because you don't want to see it. Matthew 24, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who did God take away? Those that were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. God's going to take the wicked people away. I said, God's going to take the wicked people away. The flood of judgment in the days of Noah took the wicked away. Noah was not raptured. Noah never left the earth. I heard somebody the other day. God help them. God help them. They quoted Revelation 4 and 1. After this, I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. They say that's the rapture. Hereafter the rapture. Come up hither. But they don't want to read verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. It was a revelation. The book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was revealed to John the Revelator. He said, I was in the Spirit. He was not physically removed. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul the apostle was never removed from the earth, but he had a vision. Peter had a vision of the sheets coming down and all of these unclean animals. These men having vision. Isaiah chapter 6, he had a vision of God in heaven. These men were never taken off of the earth. Never. They didn't go to heaven and sit there. No, no. They were in the Spirit. Their body was left here, but their spirit, John said, I was in the Spirit. Unless God glorified these men's bodies, they could not get into heaven like that. They could not. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, Paul said. Flesh and blood cannot go. It melt like wax. I mean, the human body would just disintegrate trying to walk into the heavenly dimension that God dwells and God lives in. Man can't do that. How about all these people that have all these out-of-body experiences? Notice the phrase, out-of-body. They weren't in their body, but they were taken to heaven. These near-death experiences, these out-of-body experiences. Why do they use the phrase, out of the body? John says, I was in the Spirit. What was he telling you? I was out of my body. What's wrong with the church today? What has happened to the church that they read scriptures, but they won't read it right? They twist it, they convolute it, they rape it, they molest it, they malign it, they castigate it. Just like that phrase, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the rapture. It doesn't say that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Nowhere does it say that. I never seen people make up so much stuff in all of my life. And thank God, you and I are not ignorant and stupid enough to believe it. Thank God we know the Word of God. Thank God we can see the truth. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Every time we see this, God is destroying the wicked that are in the earth. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So who's he taking here in the field? He's taking the wicked. Verse 39 makes that so adamantly and so clear. It is so ardent. It is so unyielding that it says, and talking about the people eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. My. Who was taken then? The wicked. Let's look at the wheat and the tares. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you do a horticulturist study, you study plants, vegetables, and things like that. Let's look at what God says here about the wheat and about the tares. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. There's nothing like the good seed, the word of God. Again, seed is what brings forth fruit. A man's seed is what brings forth fruit in the earth through a woman and conception. The seed. But while men slept, this good man's enemy. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The devil sows tares in the dark. Under the cover of dark, subtly, stealthily, he puts in this corrupt seed. What does he do? He goes his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. That's the same phrase in the Greek here. That's the same in the Hebrew about Lucifer and the eruption and his rebellion, and the earth being without form, void, and darkness. The enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. This is why I say we don't judge people to heaven or hell. We judge good fruit or bad fruit. And I'll have people say, well, you're not supposed to do that kind of judging. It's sad when people are so hateful that they won't even allow you to look at the Word of God and rightly divide it and do what the Scripture says to do. Matthew 12 and 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Who does he say make the tree good or the tree corrupt? Jesus says to you and I, you make the tree good or either you make the tree corrupt. I see someone with a bottle of liquor in their hand and womanizing. I just look at that and I say, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. But I still don't judge them to heaven or hell. God does that. Matthew 13, verse 29, but he said, nay, while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, that's the angels, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my garner. Who does he gather first? Who does he take away first? The wicked, the tares. He deals with the wicked first. Even the Antichrist will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. God, Jesus Christ, will destroy the Antichrist by the mere brightness of his coming. Who's taken away there? Who's taken away there? The wicked one himself, the son of perdition. So we see here in Matthew chapter 13, the tares are gathered, the tares are bundled, and the tares are burned. But the righteous are gathered and they're put in the barn. The barn. Now, Matthew 3:11. John said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that come after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch it I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner or into the barn. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love honest people. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, if I love honest people, I'm going to be honest here. I have disdain. I have contempt for dishonest people. Dishonest people twist the scriptures. I try my best. I am not Mr. Perfect here. I have my mistakes. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. I try to give you all of the Word of God in an area in which I'm teaching or espousing. Why? To help you understand how we come to these conclusions, how we have arrived at this doctrinal position, not because some jackleg said it, not because some buffoon said it, not because some reprobate, heretic said it. We tell you why we believe what we believe by giving you the Word of God and by simply exegeting it. He says there'll be two in the field. One will be what? Taken away. The other is left. We know in Matthew 24:39, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who did God take away in the flood? God took away the wicked. God took away the wicked in the days of Lot. Now, he sent two angels to sequester, to get Lot and his family away. But God, when he says took away, he doesn't mean to remove from one place to another. It means to damn and destroy and annihilate in the context of damning their souls. You can't annihilate a soul. You cannot annihilate a spirit. They are eternal. But you can burn up the flesh. Dust thou art, dust shalt thou return. It's a cycle of life. It's just a reality. So we see here in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obeyed not the gospel of God. Now those that obeyed not, they had to know the gospel. That's why they were disobedient. Those are your hypocrites. Those are the people who say one thing and live another way. He takes vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of God. Did Adam and Eve know God? Well, sure they knew God. Did they obey God? No, they disobeyed God. God said there's this tree in the garden. There were two trees, tree of life, tree of good and of evil. This tree of good and of evil, the day that you partake it, you shall surely die. Don't do it. Don't eat it. They disobeyed God. They suffered the consequences of disobedience. There are those that when Christ comes, they won't know God. He takes vengeance on them that know not God and in those that did not obey the gospel. So they knew the gospel. They heard the gospel. They heard the truth, but they said, forget that. I'm not going to do that. Let me quote it again. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have two categories here. We have those who were never born again, never came to the knowledge of Jesus. We have those who obviously knew God, but they didn't obey God. They get the same penalty. They suffer the same consequences. It is the wicked that God is going to remove. What does he do? He bundles the tares. He bundles the tares. And then he burns them. John the Baptist taught the same identical teaching. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge the floor, the earth, and he will gather the wheat into the barn or into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He burns up the wicked. This just came to me. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the reinforcement of the word. Thank God for the power of the word. Thank God for the anointing that is in the word. Psalms 1. This just came to me while I was sitting here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, this is going to be a Holy Ghost wind drives the chaff away. Now, let's go back to Matthew 3, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, he will throughly purge his floor, gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Holy Ghost wind, the Holy Ghost fire is going to drive away the chaff, the psalmist said there in Psalms 1. Isn't it amazing how all of the scriptures work together in harmony? John, the words of Christ, John chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, thrown out. He is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are what? They're burned. Burned. You see, the analogy is the same. Matthew 3:12 burns up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Psalms 1:3, he drives away the chaff by the wind of the Holy Ghost. The tares are gathered, they're bundled, and they're burned in fire. The sticks, here in John 15 and 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Withered. Cut branches off of trees. Today, go out there in about a week and look at the branches. They're starting to wither. Leaves are dying. What do? You gather them up. I gather them up at my house and I burn them. The branch is cast forth, is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Burned. I'm trying to connect all the dots. Now, there will be a gathering in the air. How do we know? The Bible tells us there's going to be a gathering. How high do we go up? No man can tell you that. 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet, 30,000. I don't know how high we go up. But I do know that word air is the same in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. The ambient air. What is around us? The actual word is circumambient. Circumambient. That's the actual word. Circumambient. The air that is around us. That, my friend, is where we're going, somewhere in the clouds and the air. I can't say how high. But God is clear in his word. He's going to remove the wicked from the earth. Why? Because the wicked cannot inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit, they shall inhabit the earth. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Again, Solomon, Proverbs 10:30, says the wicked shall not inhabit or inherit the earth, and the righteous shall never be removed. God's going to come back to this earth. God's going to set up a kingdom. We're going to rule and reign with him as kings and priests. Revelation 1:6, he hath made us both kings and priests. Which one do you want to be, a king or a priest? Most people say, I want to be a king. Okay, That's cool. That's great. But one day I got thinking about being a priest. I get to operate as a priest, earthly in the tabernacle, in the work of God. God, just glorify this old body here at your second advent and let me keep working in the ministry and preach to those people who are born during the millennial reign of Christ that they need to be saved. They need to be washed in the same blood so that they can't enter into that eighth millennial, that eighth world, a new heaven and a new earth. I can't give you a lot of definition on that. If you want to find what you can find out, read Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. We don't know a whole lot about that. All we know in Revelation 21:1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw a new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. We don't know a whole lot about all of that. You got people who say, well, New Jerusalem is symbolic. If it's symbolic, why does God put walls around it and the wicked can't get in? I'm telling you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to harp. I'm not trying to attack. I'm not trying to castigate. I'm trying to help you to ask yourself this question. Am I reconciling the scriptures? Am I reconciling the scriptures? If you're not reconciling the scriptures, you're missing out on the elements of truth. Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved, the nations that are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only ones that have part to this New Jerusalem. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that may have right to the tree of life. Where's the tree of life? It's in that city, New Jerusalem. And may enter in through the gates into the city. For without the city are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. If there's no literal city, what's the purpose of keeping wicked people out of it? You see, we have to answer these questions, folks. We have to answer these questions. We can't say, well, I don't know. Just let that go. I can't do that because I have to answer that. You want to know the answer, don't you? Don't you want to read your Bible and have clarity, have understanding? This is why you must dig into the Holy Scriptures, into the Word of God, that you can understand these things. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. It's not the righteous that are taken away. It is the wicked that are taken away. And the righteous are left to inherit the earth. Remember verse 39. Let me share that before we close. Matthew 24:39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Took who away? All the wicked people that were in the days of Noah took them away. Took them all away. Took them all away. God bless you. God bless you for your love. God bless you for your devotion. God bless you for your consecration. God bless you for your dedication. God bless you for your hunger, your thirst for righteousness. Thank you for everything you've ever done for the Voice of Evangelism. Thank you. Thank you for every prayer that you've ever prayed. 19 years ago, around this time of year, I lost my mother, my grandmother, and my dad. Those of you who've been following this ministry know that. I went into a time, a state, place of depression. I'm not going to lie about it. I got depressed. You lose 3 family members in 45 days. Let's see how you respond. My dad, who we were keeping, fell, bursted his head, blood bled to death, and 14 police cars, 2 crime lab vans were in my yard, stamping my hands for gunpowder residue, thinking I shot my father, thinking I shot my daddy. If you don't think life is tough, it is tough. Everybody thinks I have the most easiest life in the world. My brother-in-law told my wife the other day, "You and David know nothing about suffering." Folks, it's all in how you handle suffering. I just decided years ago, and thank God for the grace, when my parents divorced and I was not quite 12 years old, God put something in me, put me in a good place to nurture me, to help me. And I've never took the attitude, woe is me. So I thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your mercy that you've extended to us in kindness and grace. Thank you. And I want you to know today we pray for you. We pray for you because we care and we love you. April the 5th through the 7th. April the 5th through the 7th. This great, great conference entitled Age of Deception. This is going to be a blockbuster. God is going to show up. God is going to move. People's lives are going to be changed. People's lives are going to be ministered to in a great and mighty and powerful way. We've also added Sheila Zielinski is going to be speaking as well. Come on out. Get registered. You're not going to believe what you're going to see here in this conference. Listen to this commercial, and I believe it'll inspire you to come and be a part of this great conference.
Everywhere we turn, there's deception. And to help you better identify this deception, David Langford and the Voice of Evangelism has assembled a stellar lineup of speakers for their Age of Deception conference coming to the Hickory Metro Convention Center April 4th through 7th. Join David Langford along with world-renowned researcher and author Steve Quayle, Douglas and Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, artificial intelligence expert Hugo DeGaris, Irving Baxter, host of the internationally syndicated biblical prophecy television program End of the Age, along with Jimmy D. Smith and Russ Dizdar for the Age of Deception Conference, April 4th through 7th at the Hickory Metro Convention Center. You can make your reservations now online at thevoiceofevangelism.com. Registration fee is $100 per person. Find out more about the speakers and their speaking schedules at thevoiceofevangelism.com and make your reservation now to attend the Age of Deception Conference coming to Hickory, North Carolina at the Hickory Metro Convention Center, April 4th through 7th.
My friend, this conference is going to be like none other. I believe God's going to pour out of His Spirit. I believe there's going to be a move of God. I know God is going to touch people's lives, set people free from habits, addictions. People are going to be saved. There are going to be people receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I said there are going to be people receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Please register. Please come. We're making provision. If you want to wait and come in early Friday morning, we're making provision for you to come 7:30 to 9 and get registered, get your wristband so you can have access to the conference and you can come and go as you please anytime you desire. God's going to move. Mark my words. God is going to move, and He's going to touch people's hearts and lives. I want you to be in this conference. I want you to be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. and he will touch
you. The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.